Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
All right, welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast, coming at you with all kind of Florida news, information, and occurrences. And today I'm here with Professor Barlow, and we have a very special guest today. And I'm going to send it right over to Professor Barlow for some, you know, a round of introductions for this guest. I think all of y'all are going to enjoy this one.
Yes, Steve. I'm so happy to have my good friend Travis Willis on today. Travis, originally from the Orlando area, he's a Florida native. He now lives in Trenton. He's a graduate of University High School. He's a longtime dirt bike stunt driver. And then that developed into a stunt show that he puts on. He goes and does this nationally and internationally. He did it for many years. And then the scandemic kind of set him back. So he started doing other things. And that morphed into him developing a YouTube channel, What You Doing Willis, and it's been wildly successful. He has more than 30,000 subscribers and tens of thousands of viewers, and he's been having a good time with that. And we're just so fortunate to have you on the podcast. Travis Willis, welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a while. We've been trying to get on here, but you know, things didn't work out, but I'm glad to be here.
Okay, great. The first question for folks is always, tell me a little bit about your family, your upbringing and that background, and what led you into, hey, I want to be a do dangerous things on dirt bikes and ultimately to develop your show, which I think you're still working in.
Well, you know, actually, just my passion for dirt bikes growing up as a kid, my dad was a motorcycle mechanic. Actually, I had the word motorcycles on my birth certificate, but because he was a mechanic, they put father's occupation. But just growing up racing dirt bikes, you know, and we'd have a lot of money, you know, but we had a lot of love and a lot of fun, and got to a certain point where I couldn't really just afford to continue to stay competitive. You know, you get to a certain level in just any sports, and to stay competitive, it takes a certain amount of funding, and we didn't have that. Good Lord willing, about that time, freestyle motocross back in like 1999, 2000. Started to become a thing. Guys jumping big dirt hits and which ultimately ended up into being ramps and doing tricks and flips and all kinds of stuff. And that basically turned into little shows that me and my friends would go do at different dirt bike tracks. You know, we raced that. And then I kind of said, you know what, we can make this a company. And then we just kind of started rolling from there, started marketing ourselves. And then the word of mouth got out there. And then we just started traveling the world, just showing up, performing motocross stunt shows. And then as anything, you just develop it little by little as you go. And yeah, we just did one. I'll be honest with you, I slowed down a lot since the YouTube's picked up, but we did one in Georgia about a month or two ago, and then I'm working on one in the island of Antigua coming up in November. So
Wow.
Those are my current.
Yeah, well, you know, on the Palm and Pine Podcast, we love a funny story. So I know all those years on the road, and you've told me about pulling the rig through McDonald's to make an order, but you probably have some crazy stories. What is the craziest thing that's happened on the road to you?
We were in the country of Peru one time, and I won't go to that country ever again.
Pray tell.
What's that?
Pray tell.
Oh, man. It was so a lot of times when you go there, I've learned over the years, you know, we do a lot of shows in these foreign countries, and you don't necessarily know the people you're dealing with at all times. You know, if it's let's be honest with you, the majority of times there's cartels involved in some way, shape, or form. And we're at this, and the way I book my shows is we get half up front before we left the country, and then we get the other half once we got there, which is still a stupid idea to this day now I think about it. But we're there and they hadn't paid us our money yet. And so I'm like, all right, now the people are coming to the stadium's filling up, and we're like, hey, give us our money and we'll go do the show. But they never give her some money. So now it's like the show should have started like an hour ago. So we're just like, no, you know, hey, we're just there and whatever. So we go walking out in the concourse area, and then we luckily run into these guys they spoke American. They're like, hey guys, it's dangerous here for you guys. You guys gotta leave. And we're like, what do you mean? They're like, all these people are mad because you guys aren't riding. They paid money to get in here. I'm like, oh, we'll ride, dude. The motors aren't paying us. And he's like, no, you guys gotta leave now. And we saw the severity of them. Three riders all together. And he was like my translator for the road. And so like, they're like, no, you got to leave now. Your life's in danger. So we had to leave. We snuck out this little side door Next thing you know, here comes these people all running out, just the TV cameras running out, just saying they're fraud, call us frauds and stuff, right? So like, what's going on? So we get out to the car, and over there in those countries, people just park however, right? And these dudes had like a Cummins diesel truck, just like mine, a big old dually. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely our guys. But we get out there, and there's the cars are parked, and we can't get out. So we literally have to get all of us get these cars, and we like, you know, scoot the car to the side so we get the truck out. All right, this is a bit of a story. So we go back to the shop that loaded us the bikes, and I told the dude, I was like, what do we do? And he's like, I don't know, man. And so the promoters called manager, if you will. And he's like, man, we got to set up a meeting with him. So we set up a meeting with him the next day at the police station. And so we go there. We have this like a little travel bus, you know, bus that shuttled us around. We had a driver. So we get in the bus, we drive to the police station, we park, and then literally, hand of God, like the movies, like four Beamers come rolling in. They all go parking around us. And I'm just like, oh, this is good. Then old Juan Carlos gets out with his big old buddy. And man, you can ask any of the two riders, and this is exactly how it all happened. And then Ricardo gets off the bus, goes out there, starts talking. And they're talking. You can tell the body language isn't good. And it's like, not right, right? So I go walking off the bus, and I said, Ricardo, is everything okay? And the big guy looks at me and goes, Gringo, lights out. You kissed the dirt. And I was like, and then Ricardo's like, get back in the bus. Okay, well, this is not good. So I get back in the bus. And so now they're wanting us to pay them. So they tell us we got to go back to the hotel. They have goons at the hotel. They follow us. They watch us. But now we got to go to the hotel. We can't leave this hotel until we get them their money. And so I call some contacts I had in Mexico at the time. And I'm like, dude, I'm in a pickle, man. And so I told him what was going down. And he just so happened to have some people in Peru at the time. And we set up this great escape. And so, because the guys are there watching us, right? And so, let me rewind a little bit. When we escaped the arena, we had to leave all our bags, our riding gear. One of the riders had all his information, his passport and everything in the bag. So we get out. And so now we're at the hotel. We make this great escape for the next night. He's going to have the guy pull up like 3 o'clock in the morning real fast. We're all just going to dart out there, jump in it, and just haul ass, right? And so we do that. And then we get away. So then we go find another hotel across town. The next morning, we got to go to the U.S. Embassy because we don't have a passport for the other guy to get out of the country. So we go to the U.S. Embassy. We tell them, okay, guys, this is what's going on. Their advice to us, they give us an emergency passport, which is a direction, one way back to country of origin, right? And their advice was to get a gun. Thanks. You know what I mean? So we go straight to the airport, buy the first ticket out of the country, which is going to Bolivia. Thank goodness my manager at the time was from, or the Ricardo, the translator was from Bolivia. And so now we get to customs and start stamping passports and get to his, that's country of origin. Sorry, can't go. Well, that's where those countries, you start peeling the dough out. You start peeling the dough out, then he stamps it and he's not worried about it. We have to worry about it when we get to Bolivia now as to why we have a visa and stamps and all that stuff. And so we get out, we finally get on the plane, and now I'm sitting down, I'm like, oh, dude, you're good. I said, we're good now, huh? And he said no. And he's like, man, he's like, I won't feel better until this plane is actually in the air. He's like, you understand, these countries, these people, you know, depending on who they are, they can come out on the tarmac, stop the plane, and come drag us off these planes. So finally, the plane got up and out of there, and then we had to deal with all of them. We got to Bolivia, but man, that was a pretty intense, scary, crazy situation. Like, literally, you're in fear for your life because.
Yeah, I bet you didn't go to Peru again.
No, never again. Never will I go there ever again.
Well, let's talk about your fabulous YouTube channel. It kind of started out that you were just filming your everyday activities, but it's morphed now into more. You have special projects going on, like Tube Town and things like that. So what's going on now with what you do in Willis?
So that, you know, I give you know, credit to my good friend Jeremy Hales. He has a huge YouTube channel. How I got involved in this was he bought the ranch that my daughter's husband's parents used to own. Okay, so he bought that ranch, and then through my daughter, she said, "Hey, a YouTuber moved in, and he needed some help building some stuff." So I ended up emailing the guy, and I ran into my Walmart one day, and I said, "Hey, man, I emailed you. You need some help out there? I can help you out." Yeah, he's close to a million subscribers on his channel, so. You know, you got to be a little more picky as the people you allow into your home area, right? So, you know, I talked to him. He feels comfortable. I go there and I started working. I worked for him for about a week, building shelves and stuff. You see, and he told me, he's like, man, you should start a YouTube channel. And I had no idea. Like, I mean, I knew about YouTube, but I had no idea that I could literally make this a career like I have now.
Well, he saw the showman in you, you know, he saw that you had that.
You know, maybe, I mean, I don't know. I pretty much just worked there, but I really, man, honestly, he encourages, just like, yeah, I mean, I encourage everybody to start YouTube, man. Cause there's so many niches out there. So many people are interested in so many different things, but yeah, so I started channeling that, and his niche was doing storage units. Okay. So he goes and buys storage units, and then he'd do like online auctions on Sunday nights, which has now turned into a whole whatnot business. But, so, you know, storage units, you pick, you know, that was his main thing. So I started a channel, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to call it What You Doing, Willis, because I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I don't do storage units. You know, I just started filming myself doing what I'm doing and just having fun. And basically the goal kind of I wanted to rewind back to my motorcycle career. You know, I traveled the world, and I had this speech I told the kids, you know, to follow their dreams, because I was that poor kid on the other side of the fence at one time that had a dream of being a dirt bike rider, you know, and I worked hard through blood, sweat, tears, broken bones, and now I'm on this side of the fence, and you too can, you know, follow your dreams. And that whole speech I talked to them about. And I really try to encourage kids, you know, no matter what it is, baseball, soccer, garbage man, whatever you want to be in life, you know, you can do it. Just don't give up on yourself. So, you know, I enjoyed that because I got to touch people, you know, I got to kind of, you know, and then doing autographs after that, you know, you get to talk to kids, and not that I'm anybody, but they look up to you as a children. Well, then I get the YouTube channel, and that kind of really broadened that audience as to now, you know, my goal is to change the world one smile at a time. Guys, go off, man. You've been on some of my videos, you know, going out. That's back before I was even paid to be a YouTuber over there filming, you know, farm, building the fences and stuff like that. And so, you know, but now I get so many awesome emails that, like, that just in the comments that, you know, like, you know, one of the biggest heartfelt emails sent was like, you know, big long email, but then at the end it was like, you know, thank you for giving lonely people a place to go. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, and I try to interact with my viewers. I try to respond to all the comments. My channel involves my viewers, which insert TubeTown. My friend who has a very successful channel that, where I'm at now, he has a place of business where he does all his auction and stuff. And he has the ranch over there. Well, you know, we get viewers that come by here, and, you know, and it's, you can't have viewers come up here and, like, if you will, like, come to your place of business or your place of work, you know what I mean? But people are interested, and they're interested in the town, and there's drama that goes on along with some of it, you know, just like anything, people that like drama, you know, a lot of people want to see if it's real. So they come here. Well, the idea behind TubeTown is I wanted a place where we could be at, I could be at, my friend Jeremy could be at, anybody that's involved in the YouTube family, if you will. And the viewers could come, and they more than welcome. Come on up, talk to us. I have some games set up. You know, it's on private property, and you know, people can't come onto the property unless they're invited by Jeremy. But other than that, my viewers. And I started this in April 1st of last year, and I have a guest book there. I have a mailbox. I have a cardboard cut out of me, and I've had almost 400 people have come there to sign that guest book from around the nation. But one of my most recent ones drove going to Tampa. A specific stop, TubeTown from Canada. You know, right. We've had people from England, Tracy and Mom, they fly over from England, and then they come over there. And now it's just cool to have a place that, and that's a whole separate channel. You know, my wife had a YouTube channel that she did, and she stopped making cooking videos. So I kind of took that channel over, and basically I started TubeTown, which I'm the self-proclaimed mayor of the town of a town in a tiny town, population one, which is me. And so you'll see me in my TubeTown videos. I'll be wearing my TubeTown mayor, my black hat, and my What You Doing Willis videos. I'll be wearing a red shirt and a red hat. Well, this, I'll turn this inside out and put a red hat on. And it's just me doing the same thing, but just goofing off, making people laugh, you know, and that's the idea.
Well, now you're very open about who you are and where you are. You want your guests to actually come to Otter Creek and interact with you. Do you ever worry for your own security? Because there's a lot of crazy people out there.
Well, my right hip's heavier than my left hip, though, just so you know. I've grown up raised in martial arts. I'm a first degree black belt in martial arts. I have a concealed weapons permit. I can aim better than most. I'm very aware of my surroundings. You have to be. I teach my daughter. I teach my family about that. That's where so many people are distracted by so many things nowadays. Like, you'll see me in a grocery store. Even my wife. She's like, your wife. You're always distracted. No, I'm always just watching because it's a crazy world nowadays, and you just don't know where you're going to be at and what goes on, and you need to always be prepared.
Well, hey, that's great, Travis. I tell you something I love about this. Our actual very first guest that we interviewed on our podcast was the mayor of Chiefland. And a great mayor.
The mayor too, John.
And now, yeah, now we have the mayor of Tube Town. And give us a little more clarity. Let's just say we got people listening or watching today. They have no clue what we're talking about. What is Tube Town? Where is it? Kind of how does it work?
Okay, so, and this is where it's actually expanding. So Tube Town, it's actually a lot in the middle of the woods. And we're in Otter Creek, Florida. If anybody knows where Otter Creek, Florida is at, you'll know it's 20 miles in any direction for anything. You know, we have there's a little, I don't live here. I live in Trenton, but my friend, he has his business here and he has a ranch here, but it has like a trading post, a post office, and a convenience store. And the convenience stores are mom and pop's convenience stores. There's pretty much nothing out here. There's a lot of drama that kind of come around the town through my other buddies, his channel, some stuff that went on with the town council and all. But anyhow, Tube Town is a place where the guests can drive up and actually come to, you know, it's I want it to be like a Route 66 type deal, honestly. And it's really kind of turned into that, you know, like a Cadillac Ranch or, you know what I mean? Something like that, where people that they're traveling South Florida and it's proven itself. They're traveling South Florida, they're traveling North Florida. They drive by here. They want to see it. Now, what I've done is like there's games there. Like I got a game banned from here in the United States, lawn darts. You know what I mean? Like that I got that there. I got like a horseshoes. I got and all this stuff has been donated by the viewers, which is super awesome. Like it's all games that the viewers are saying. I want it to be really interactive with all the viewers. So everything's kind of built by the viewers, sent by the viewers. And now what I've done at the end of the road there, there's a commercial lot that I've now leased. I'm actually opened up a legitimate Tube Town where people can come. They can actually come in. It's going to be like a souvenir gift shop. And I'm going to have so the idea is my buddy makes lures, right? And he's up in Indiana. He has a mobile vending trailer. Cedar Keys, 15 miles that way. There's boats going by here all day, every day. You know the area. So I'm like, man, I want to start like a mobile souvenir shop/bait shop. So he's going to come down and test market, I think next month, he has a vending trailer. And ideally, long story short, I'm gonna get a little short bus and we're going to basically be like a little souvenir shop. And it's going to be like people come, they can pull in, they can park, they can go in there, they can buy some Tube Town's novelty souvenirs, check out all the different tackle that he has. I want to eventually do live bait. We'll put a hot dog stand there.
Hey, I tell you, that's more than has been happening in Otter Creek, certainly in my lifetime, and maybe in the last 100 years right there. And so I guess, you're doing all this in Otter Creek. What's the local permitting like to establish a business in Otter Creek? Do you go up to City Hall, and what kind of interaction have you had there in that local community? I'm sure drama llamas and regular stuff. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, so, you know, because you got the drama llamas and I want to do everything right. I want to do it the proper way. Cause right now there's, you know, it's kind of like the Wild West out here. Pretty much you can kind of do anything. There's no code enforcement. There's no, you know, the Levy County, the city of Otter Creek is responsible for the city of Otter Creek. So Levy County, you know, their code enforcement don't come out here. Their animal control don't come out here. Nothing. So it's basically up to the town council, whatever, you know, they do as a city to invoke stuff. But I want to do it right.
Okay, great. On Zoom, your time limited, and we're about to run out of time. So the final question we ask of everybody is if you had to talk to a young person today, maybe even yourself when you were 18, what's the one guiding principle that you use in life that is most important to your success?
Be nice. It feels good to be nice. And the more people be nice, the more you give, the more you get in life. You just look at somebody, give them a smile. You know what I mean? I try to every day. I try to look at them, smile, and make them smile back. We're all winning, you know? So just be nice and stay happy, you know? The more you look at life in a miserable way and this and that, you're going to be happy. Just be happy and watch your life change, you know? Be kind to others.
Okay, great. There's so much to talk about. We'll have to have you on again sometime.
Absolutely.
We'd like to come down for your grand opening when you get your shop ready down there.
Awesome. For sure, man, for sure.
Thank you for being on the Palm Pine podcast.
I think, Doug and I can eat about, we can probably eat 3 to 4 hot dogs apiece. So
right
when you get to serving.
Awesome, man. Well, sounds good. I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice. But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2025, Palm and Pine Podcast, all rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.